Welcome to the Bridge Podcast, a digital worship service. We know that walking with the Lord isn't easy, and we hope this show is a way to come alongside you and offer a little extra weekly encouragement. Most of the content for the show was originally created for our BridgeBox subscription service. For more information, go to missionusa.com/BridgeBox.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to start here. God does not give stuff in order to show his love. That's not how it works. God does not prove to you how much he loves you by giving you stuff. And I don't know if you know this, God gives stuff to awful people every day. Terrible people doing terrible things. Not like us holy people. Okay. Y'all were going to just let me get away with that, weren't you? Sure, if you say we're holy, fine. God gives money and cars and power and all those things we think are blessings. He gives those to evil people every day. In fact, a lot of evil people got rich being evil. That's how that happened. Some of y'all know some of those people. Some of y'all were those people. Okay. So we had to get out of this mentality of I'm going to do something for God and God's going to hook me up. That's not in that Bible. That's not a relationship God wants to have with you. God is not, like I go to the, if I want a cold pop, I go to the machine and I put the dollar in the machine and then I get the cold pop back out of it. That's not how God works with you. God's not a machine. We don't put something in and hold our hands at the bottom because that's not love. You see what I mean? That's just a business. That's just a mechanical relationship. God doesn't have that with you. Here, let me give you two verses I think explain this. This is Old Testament, book of Isaiah, chapter 41. Do not, this is God speaking, do not be afraid about your bills, about money, about the things you don't have, etc. and so on. Do not be afraid. I am with you. Do not lose heart. I am your God. I will make you strong and help you. My powerful right hand will take good care of you. I always do what is right. That's God speaking to you. That's God saying, I got you. I know what you need. I know how to get it to you. I know how to work this thing. Don't be afraid. I will make you strong and I will help you. That's what God's saying. Here's another thing God's saying. This is the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. The Lord disciplines those he loves as a father, the son he delights in. Saying when a father delights in his son and loves his son and whatever, he disciplines that son. Now, a lot of people read that verse and say, God punishes people who screw up. That's not written down there. He says discipline. Discipline is different than punishment. If it was punishment, that would be the word. It's not that word. It's discipline. See, discipline is about teaching. It's about giving us a challenge for us to rise up to. Some of y'all have been facing a challenge lately, haven't you? And some of you are rising up to it. Maybe it's not pretty. Maybe it doesn't look great to somebody on the outside, but you are managing that. You are dealing with it. You're wrestling with it, and you're taking it to God and saying, God, I'm tired, and I'm frustrated, and I don't want it to be that way. But that discipline is making you more honest in your relationship with God, which is good. It's making you a more prayerful person, which is good. It's getting you to wrestle with why you want what you want, which is good. That's discipline. God disciplines those that he loves. We have it in our minds from misunderstanding these kinds of verses that God is looking to reward us for good behavior. Our behavior doesn't ever really get that good, does it? Do we behave so well that God says, well, you know, you did that good thing all by yourself. It's not like I gave you lots of strength to accomplish that. So since you did that great thing all by yourself, let me reward you with an amazing reward. You and I have done so many wrong things. We're not lining up for that reward line here. I'm not anyway. I'll put it on myself. But this second verse here is saying that there's a difference between discipline and a curse. See, a lot of people say, I screwed up, so God's looking to curse me now. God's heart isn't for me. He's not. God doesn't want to help me out. So I have to do something good so I can flip the script, and then God will want to help me again. That is not the relationship God is setting up. God is saying, I will provide for you, but I will challenge you. I will put you through tough circumstances to prepare you to receive that good thing that you want in your life. If you're not ready for that, I can give it to you. You'd screw it up and you'd cry and everybody would be sad and it would be a disaster. It would be a curse to you. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but there are some people who can't be blessed. Do you know what I mean? I could give them $1 million tonight, and tomorrow they'd be in the hospital, they'd be in the jailhouse, they'd somehow owe money to somebody. That's just, you know, some people can't, you can't put blessings on them. That's because they're not ready to receive it. And that's okay. God has a process for how to walk us through that. We get it in our minds. God wants to punish us for those things. And here's the thing you need to know. If God, the maker of the universe, God, if he were punishing you, you would know it for sure. Do you see what I'm saying? God doesn't wait to catch you so he can put the violation on you or something. He knows where you live. He knows how. If he said, I feel like punishing somebody, they'd get punished and they would say, oh, God is definitely punishing me. That's the only, you know, you would know, believe me. There would be a little greasy spot where you used to be standing. We'd say, God punished that person. And then we'd know. God's not punishing you. He disciplines those he loves. See what I'm saying? Yeah, he's putting you through a tough time. And don't catch me painting a smiley face on it. I know you're going through hard times. When you can't pay your bills, when you're in a point where you just feel like you're struggling and you don't know what to do next, you don't want somebody like me coming up and telling you to be thankful for it and recognize that God loves you and he's putting this challenge on you to prepare you for something else. That's not a word anybody really wants to hear on a Tuesday night. But what I am asking you to do is to recognize that God isn't punishing you because you don't have what you want to have right now. The Bible says be faithful with a little, and then you'll get a chance to be faithful with a lot. So people read that and say, okay, so I do a good job with a little bit of things, and then God will give me a lot of things. I want to have a lot of things, so I'm going to do good things with little things, and then I'll have a lot of things. That's not what that Bible verse said. God says, if you're faithful with a little, I'll give you an opportunity to be faithful with a lot. He didn't say, you have to prove to me how materialistic you are so that I will hook you up and bless you with material things. Because that's not what God would tell you. Does that make sense? See, we're breaking down. We think these verses are saying something other than what they're actually saying. See, the truth is, God doesn't want to give you stuff for you to worship the stuff and say, thank you, stuff. You make me so happy, stuff. I'm so glad I have you in my life, stuff. God does not want to set up that relationship between you and stuff. He wants to get you to a place where you say, I don't have no stuff and I don't need no stuff because I've got God. Then, just because this is his sense of humor, then when you say, I don't need no stuff, that's when he will give you stuff. Because that's the spiritual life you and I are living. This is how it's God's sense of humor, I guess. But the truth is, I want to know, and I'm just going to rapid fire through some of these. Is your comfort zone, things you're comfortable with, is that limiting the gifts that you can access? You know what I mean? Some people are uncomfortable applying for a job. That just makes them feel uncomfortable. Makes them feel, you know, I'll feel weird going in there, and I got to tell somebody I need an application. They'll all be looking at me, you know, and they'll be judging on me. And then someone will ask me if I have a record, and they have to decide whether I'm going to tell the truth, and I'm embarrassed about that. And you know, you see what I'm saying? Okay, now what if I told you God came down and he gave me a word of prophecy, and I have a prophetic word for you. The 12th job you apply for, you will definitely get. Well, then you would say, well, okay, so God wants to, for me to get used to being comfortable with this. He wants me to get over my image of myself. He wants me to be disciplined and follow through. He wants to teach me how to apply for a job in a good way and how to have a good relationship with an employer. And then he's going to bless me. And that makes perfect sense. And then you just go do it. Because you can see that whole thing. But if I say to you, go apply for as many jobs as you can, and surely it will work out because God is with you, and you're not to lose heart because he'll make you strong and he'll help you, like that verse says. If I say that, it's a different thing because we don't know for sure. If I told you there's $1 million sitting on a kitchen table a mile from here, all you got to do is crawl on your hands and knees to get there, you'd do it. Because you'd know what would happen on the other end. You would say, okay, it's worth what I'm doing in order to get where I'm going. But we have this mentality, I'm making all these sacrifices. I'm trying to live the right life here. I'm trying to do my thing. And I can't see where this blessing is or where it's coming from or even how it's going to find me. When we're in that place, we're trying to figure out how to get on the right side of this thing without realizing it's these things that are limiting us, that are keeping us from pursuing that gift. This is what the devil says to you about all these things. This is what the devil says. God doesn't want you to have it. Whatever it is you want right now, the devil is the one saying God doesn't want you to have it. You say, I want a relationship with this pretty girl. If you went to the Lord and told him that, he'd say, she's pretty, but you wouldn't be happy with her. Here's another one that loves me. You'll be happy with her, and she's pretty. How about that? But God wouldn't say to you, you should not want to be with a pretty girl. That wouldn't happen. See, the lie that the devil tells you is God doesn't want you to have these things. He doesn't want to satisfy you. So what you have to do is use my method. That's what the devil has you on, is here's a way for you to hook you up, because God doesn't really want to give you these things. You have to name it and claim it, or he won't give it to you. What have I just done? Have I tricked God into giving me something he doesn't want to give me? If he wanted me to have it, I'd have it. If he doesn't want me to have it, I'm not going to have it. Doesn't matter how I word it to him. It doesn't make any sense. Do y'all follow what I'm saying? See, we have this approach to this stuff where we've bought into the lie that maybe God doesn't want to bless us. Maybe God doesn't want us to have these things in our life. And the truth is, he does want to have these things in our life. He's just got a way he wants for us to pursue that. And we have to trust that that way is the right way. We have to talk to God about that, don't we? So it really comes down to the one thing that's the hardest thing out of all this, which is the attitude that we have while we're waiting for that to happen. The attitude that we have when we haven't gotten that blessing, we're still dealing with our probation stuff, if we're still dealing with our addiction stuff, if we're still trying to get this relationship back that's ended, or whatever the thing is, and we're in the midst of that and we're having the struggles trying to find the right attitude. And the truth is, the Lord is trying to show us that if we can find a thankfulness within that, if we can find a thankfulness for the things the Lord has already done for us, what that will do is it'll give us a perspective on what he wants to do in the future with us, and whether this blessing is on the way. It reminds us God is there. If we don't have that thankfulness, if we're saying, God, gimme, 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 we get in that mentality where now we're so desperate to have it because we've just this only thing in my mind. I'm just going round and round and round. And if God gives it to you, you go from crazy to like, oh, okay. Whew. Oh, yeah. Now I can breathe. You made yourself crazy for God to give you something just to get back to normal. God doesn't want to take you just back to normal. God wants to bless you. God wants to take you to the next level. Amen. So that attitude that we have is very crucial. And for me, the perfect way of looking at this is a story of Jonah. And y'all know the story of Jonah, right? God says, I want you to go and do a thing. Jonah says, no, I'm not going to do that. And he goes the other direction, and he eventually runs out of land. So I said, I'm going to get on a boat and keep going. I mean, he's committed to his backslide here. He gets in the boat, and they go way out. We're too far. He can't even see shore. And the storm comes up, and you know, Jonah knows, I know who's to blame for this. And he actually tells these brothers, throw me overboard or you're going to sink with me. And probably he was just bluffing, but they grabbed him and threw him over. And so now he's treading water. That's bad. All these things are bad. Shipwreck. You know, first you had to run for your life. Then you get, you know, in the boat in the storm and getting, and now you're going to drown. And think life is bad because I've gone against God, see? And then a giant fish swallows him. He could have just drowned. You know, God could have just let him drown. That would have been fine. But now you're in a fish's stomach trying to think about life and so on and so forth. Now, the most amazing chapter in the Bible is the second chapter of Jonah, because it's the prayer that Jonah said from inside the stomach of the fish, which I think is awesome. And here's the end of that prayer. He says, I will sacrifice a thank offering to you, and I will sing a song of thanks. I will do what I have promised. Lord, you are the one who saves. Thankful. It's hard to be thankful in a fish's stomach. You understand what I'm saying? It takes a certain amount of character. But the next verse after this says, and the fish vomited him up on dry land. Okay, do you follow what happened? He got in a boat over here. We went out over the water over here, overboard, swallowed, way out over here. But the fish spit him up all the way back here on dry land. So what that meant is this thing he thought was a punishment was swimming him back. The whole way. This was the thing that was saving him, even though he thought it was a punishment. You follow what I'm saying? And all I'm asking you to consider is, if he prays this prayer, that fish probably keeps swimming that direction. If he doesn't pray that prayer, maybe that fish starts wandering out, you know, over the open sea there. So the attitude, I think, has a lot to do with what God is doing in your life. And it's about recognizing some of these things we think of as punishments are really God trying to bless you. Amen? We love you. God bless you.